Following George Floyd's death in police custody last year and the nationwide protests that followed, police accountability and reform have gotten a lot of attention here in Wisconsin. In August, Governor Evers released a package of policing-related bills for the legislature to consider. Those weren't taken up at the time, but a bipartisan speaker's task force was formed to review police standards and work on other ideas for police reform. And last week, state senators released a new package of 8 bills, including 7 with some bipartisan support. They would create a state board to review use of force incidents, ban chokeholds, and establish a community policing grant program, among other things. A sponsor of that legislation joins us now. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. If police reform has been an important issue for you, what do you want to see change? What questions do you have about what these bills do and don't do? Do you think a state review of officer-involved use of force incidents is a good idea? If you've worked in law enforcement yourself, love to hear your perspective. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Van Wongert is a Republican representing the state's 21st Senate District, which includes Racine and Kenosha counties. He's a former law enforcement officer. Senator Wongert, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Hope you're doing well.
You too. Now, as a former law enforcement officer yourself, these are not new issues to you. What made you decide to put together this package of bills now?
Well, actually, this wasn't just determined when we had the Floyd incident or any of these recent issues that took the national spotlight. We've actually been working on reforms and dealing with some of the mechanics with law enforcement reform, well, since probably about 2015. I know the one bill we've been working on since at least 2015 is accountability through the creation of an independent use of force advisory board. We call it the Police and Community Safety Board. And that was actually brought to fruition as a result of a police-involved shooting in Kenosha. And Michael Bell, the father of a person who was killed as a result of that interaction, started working on this idea and brought it forward and modeling it after the National Transportation Safety Board. And we can always learn from incidents that occur, but it's important that we allow the process to work and that there be a good process in place. And we identified the fact that, you know, it's not just about finding fault or finding if somebody violated a rule or a regulation. It is about, I think, identifying if there's a problem in the process where maybe we erred or maybe it's an equipment issue, it's a training issue, or there's some other factor that got into the process or part of the process was skipped one or two steps, and that resulted in the negative results. So National Transportation Safety Board, they do just that. They come in and look at it, assess it, determine if the process was followed, if training was followed. Maybe training has to change because of different types of equipment and stuff that are available. So that's the idea behind that. And so we've been working on that for years. And because sometimes it takes a long time to get everybody that's got an interest in this to come to the table and chat about it. And we've had probably several hundred gatherings of people that have had an interest in this. In 2017, we actually had a conference at Wingspread in here in Wind Point at the S.C. Johnson Foundation, where we brought people in from all around the country to talk about this model being created. So this has been an ongoing thing, and it's finally to the point where we're going to get to fruition, I think, and we've got our police groups, we've got victims, we've got prosecutors, we've got defense attorneys, judges that have looked at this, so, and we've got support from both sides of the aisle, so I think we're on our way to getting this across the finish line.
And we've talked to Michael Bell a few times over the years, and he's talked about this aviation industry modeled incident review board. So who, talk us through the practical side of it in your legislation. What would this board look like? What would they do?
Well, what the board would do is we would have a board that would be notified. Same thing, if there was an officer-involved shooting there where there was death or great bodily harm occurred as a result of law enforcement interaction, generally the Department of Justice is notified right away, and quite often the DOJ comes in and does an immediate investigation as to what's happening. Or it could be the sheriff from the adjoining county comes and initiates that. We changed the statutes just a couple years ago that actually makes it current law that if you have a death or something which is officer-involved shooting, that you can't investigate it yourself, your own department. It's got to be done by another organization. So it's not, the one department investigating itself from the standpoint of determining whether or not there was fault by the officer involved in that event. So what this would do is this would have a group of people on a board that have an expertise in all different areas. Could be dealing with training issues, could be dealing with mental health issues, officers that have worked in the field or trained in the field, experts in their area that would be able to respond to a call like that within a relatively short period of time, 4 to 6 hours. A group of experts would respond to that event, and once the scene has been processed by the original officers doing the investigation, they'd be also reviewing and documenting what they see and interviewing people that were witnesses and victims involved in this process. But this group of experts and individuals that would be doing this would be individuals that are not looking to be judgmental. They're not doing this because they're trying to identify fault, quote-unquote, whether it's civil or criminal. They're there to look at what happened. What was that continuum that got to a point where lethal force was used and ultimately an officer responded to that call for service by using lethal force. And so that would be their main push would be to determine the process. And where do we need to adjust that process that potentially we can eliminate this happening again, happening someplace else? Because maybe it's a training issue. Maybe it is too many hours that an individual's been working. Maybe they want to work in double or triple shifts because of circumstances. Could be that there's drugs or alcohol involved on either side of the equation. A lot of times that's what we're running into now in law enforcement is there's such a huge misuse of methamphetamines and codeines and fentanyl and all these other illicit drugs. I mean, just the issue that happened in Minneapolis and the one that happened in Kenosha, both of those individuals that were the result of that reaction by officers were both heavily inundated in fentanyl. And so that was a big, big problem. So officers need to be able to identify these things, and hopefully maybe there's some other things that we can do to de-escalate the situation.
Talking to Wisconsin State Senator Van Wongert about a new package of police-related legislation, a number of pieces of which have some bipartisan support so far. We focused on this incident board. There's a whole lot more going on in this package of legislation. What other things did you highlight?
Well, I think, mandatory reporting of use of force and whistleblower protections, I think, are important. So you have consistency and you have integrity built into the system so somebody's not afraid to step forward. I think we have those there now, but I think we really need to reinforce those. Personnel files for law enforcement, that they be open. So you just can't move one officer from one place to another that's had issues. Those files have to be open so that if they're going to be considered by another department, that they get all the facts of, what those concerns might be. Oriented policing, community-oriented policing, this is our thought is to provide $600,000 in grant funding to smaller communities to be able to initiate community-oriented policing. And this is something that we started here in Racine back in 1993. Our chief went away to a conference someplace and came back just walking 2 feet off the ground because he thought that this was just the answer to a lot of our problems that we had in our community. And so we initiated it in one of our worst neighborhoods, and where they had drugs and thugs and everything else going on, and the people that lived there were the captives of these thugs and drug dealers. Well, we moved in, bought one of the houses that was, you know, dilapidated and ready to go, and they rebuilt it. Habitat for Humanity stepped in. We got the community involved, and that became the area police house. And so an officer worked directly at the house responsible for maybe a 10 or 15 block radius, and that became his precinct. And he worked with those people to help them regain control of their own neighborhood. And we started with one in 1993, and I believe we have six right now that are in process here in Racine. I think we've closed two or three and sold those houses that were rebuilt because they took that neighborhood back. And then the money from that went back into buying another home in another seedy part of the community. And so what ended up happening is it's all about getting the trust of the community and having the community be engaged in what the goal is, and that's to take back your own community so that, you know, you're kind of self-policing and people have the feeling that they're part of the process. They're not just an occupying force. And so often officers, when they respond to these really negative calls for service, that's what officers are doing. They're responding to things after the fact. Well, this starts at the beginning of the process and helps the people get connected to the right resources, and that's what this cop house does then. It becomes the center hub of that part of those people's universe so that they can be engaged in solving a lot of their own problems and helping to make them be successful. And that's what law enforcement's about, making things successful and being a good problem solver. It's not how many people you arrest. It's about helping people problem solve. And this is one way to do it, and it's one way to get workforce development involved, get early prison release involved, get mental health involved, get school tutoring involved. I mean, this all happens out of that one COP house. It's a gathering point for those people in that neighborhood. So we're hoping that that's going to come to fruition, too.
We're talking to Republican State Senator Van Mongert about the eight policing-related bills he's introduced in the state legislature. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What, if anything, do you want to see change when it comes to policing, local level or statewide? What do you think of this incident review board, in effect, that would look at police-involved shootings and other uses of force by police, review it, try to learn from it? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Republican State Senator Van Mongert, who represents Racine and Kenosha counties. We're looking at the package of bills he introduced that deal with policing issues in the state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Dan is with us in Franksville. Dan, hi.
Hi. I think that it's probably a Band-Aid situation, the way it looks. But any idea is good. As long as people get nervous and stuff about bills and stuff, they can always be changed. So any idea is good as long as, you know, people can accept it like that. But, you know, the problem is that I think in the school system, like in the black community, it's an emergency. It's been an emergency for 40, 50 or plus years. These kids need the state-of-the-art schooling and this and that.
Dan, I gotcha. I want to jump in because I want to get some more callers, too. Dan says he likes to see something here. He's worried it's a Band-Aid and maybe better schools would help, Senator Wongard.
Well, I'm not going to argue that better schools and I think educating our communities to be patient. When you have a situation occur, part of the problem today, as I see it, and having started as police officer in 1972, before we had all this smartphones and instantaneous communication, the problem is that oftentimes people jump to conclusions not having all the information, and this is a really big, big challenge. And you don't know what information is actually good information. If you don't have good information, that becomes a real huge issue. So getting everybody on the same page, taking time out, take a deep breath. watch the process work, and that's why it's so important to me, having been an investigator for 25 of my 30 years on the Racine Police Department. A process that you go through any investigation is important. If you skip one step, now you've got the potential of not having the result at the end that should be coming out, because you want it to be a fair result. And if you got a good process, you're going to get a better result if you've allowed it to work. And so I think that the educational part of it is huge, and making sure that all the information is put out there, and we don't jump to conclusions before all the information's in.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Rick now in St. Croix County. Rick, hi.
Yes, you know, all of a sudden you say you want these police officers to be able to diagnose drugs. Well, the doctors can't even diagnose somebody that's on fentanyl or somebody who's drugs. Our police, for the most part, do a very good job. Times that problems happen, most of the time it's because the person caused some of their own problems.
Rick, thanks for the call. To his first point there, people have said, yeah, we ask a lot of police officers, ask them to identify addiction, be social workers, mental health workers. I don't know, what kind of training do you see, Senator Wongard, being needed for police officers dealing with all those different situations, or do other professionals need to be involved in responding to some of these incidents?
That is an absolutely great question. I was involved in alcohol and drug rehab things from the time I got on it. Well, actually, from just before I got on the police department, working with some of our local organizations here with kids. And when I got on the police department, I got into the training aspect of it as an accident reconstructionist and a traffic investigator. It was part of my responsibility to teach about one drug, which was alcohol, and train officers on looking at determining what type of saturation level a person had in their system through the HGN-SFST, horizontal gaze nystagmus standardized field sobriety testing. But there's another program that the state's been teaching for probably 30 years, and that's DRE, the drug recognition program. And it helps the officers know whether a person is on alcohol or on other things, amphetamines, uppers, downers. I mean, you can tell from the training, you know, just from their reactions of their eyes, whether they are at a pinpoint or dilated, all those different things that will trip the officers' sense of, oh, wait a minute, we've got to go someplace farther here. There's more going on here than just alcohol or nothing or just drugs. So there are these programs that have been being trained in the different departments, but it's really important that we allow the departments to do the training and we have the amount of dollars and resources in place so these guys can get the training. We are really blessed here in Wisconsin. Our Bureau of Training and Standards, they are phenomenal. They're ahead of the game here from most of our states around the country. They do a great job with bringing training aspects and bringing, I think, a better understanding of some of the needs of officers on the street. We can always use more, and we always need more depth. I think, in part, our guys really do a pretty darn good job, but it's an on-the-job thing. I mean, you're learning this as you're going along and you're responding to people on the street and the changes in how these drugs get into our communities and how saturated they are in our communities. I mean, it used to be when I came on, we had brown heroin coming up from across the Mexican border, and it was about 3 or 4% pure. The stuff they have now is white heroin, and it's about 96 or 97% pure. And fentanyl is, you know, 100 times more powerful than you know, the heroin. So, I mean, these things are transitioning, and we got to stay ahead of the game. And it's an all hands on deck situation where we need our mental health people, we need our doctors, we need our teachers and our educators to be on board so they understand the implication of drugs in our society. I mean, my goodness, we're saying it's okay to smoke marijuana and everything else and that's all okay. And to me, that's a gateway, and that causes other problems. That's probably another show we could do with that. But I have to say this, is that it can really lead to some real difficulties. Back in my day, they put PCP on the marijuana, so it would entice that person that's buying it to buy more because they get a really good high. Well, let me tell you, guess what they're using today? They're dusting it with fentanyl. So these are the problems that we got to deal with, and people got to wake up to this issue today.
Briefly, in our last few moments, we do have a caller. We don't have time for him saying, hey, maybe we need to end the war on drugs. That's going to solve some of these problems. If there's a legally, for example, regulated marijuana industry, it would solve some of the problems you were just laying out. Do we need to change our attitude toward drugs as more of a treatment thing than a law enforcement thing, just in our last minute or so?
Yep, nope, I do not agree with that. I don't think that by allowing more people to have it, something that's illegal, and that we have learned with some of the studies that have been done, and there's some really lengthy studies that have been done over a 20 or 30 year period, that they found that marijuana, as an example, is not something that helps somebody. It causes psychosis, and it causes a lot of schizophrenia, etc. And so to add that, so now we have more people out there like that, we make it okay. I sure wouldn't want my grandchildren to be indulging in that, with the potential of them having psychotic episodes, etc. That makes absolutely no sense. I mean, this was the thought when they brought oxycodone and those things in, and people used that and ate all that stuff like it was candy. That's what's gotten us to the point where we're at now. So creating more of it, making it legal for more, that is not going to help us become a better society, in my view.
Senator Wongard, thanks for joining us again today.
Rob, you are welcome. Always a pleasure.
That's Van Wongard, Republican representing the state's 21st Senate District, which includes Racine and Kenosha counties. He talked with us about a series of policing-related bills he introduced in the state legislature last week.